The scripture today is from Matthew 11, 2 to 5. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
How can some people see in the cross of Christ the promise of resurrection, while others use flaming crosses as tools of oppressive intimidation? How do we know whether our hearts and minds are on the path of faithfulness? That's what's at stake in today's scripture. When I was growing up in a working class neighborhood, surrounded by working class people, I became skeptical of the belief that meaning and joy awaited those with a white-collar career. Through my education, and informed in some way by my rudimentary knowledge of Jesus, I was able to glimpse behind the curtain of the myth that fuels America: a higher standard of living does not make for a meaningful existence, especially when that standard comes at the cost of misery for others. From those who spoke up from the margins, I encountered a very different view of American life and history. And from the margins, I encountered a Christianity that made sense. Those in this country who believe that they have arrived, that they have finally gotten to that place where they have the resources that they dreamed of, will find themselves atop a system built on the exploitation of other human beings and the natural world. To arrive at the top of that bloody heap, we must in some way sell ourselves to the soul-devouring myths that keep such a system afloat. How then do we find a path of hope in a world clouded by lies, desire, and fear? That's where today's scripture comes in. John the Baptist is a prophet. A prophet tells the truth, a truth which springs from the love of God and the vantage point of the oppressed and the excluded. In today's reading, John is in jail, which is often where prophets find themselves. Those who have the power to put people in jails generally don't like the truth that comes from those who speak for those who have little or no power. John was arrested, put in jail, and his life hung on the whim of a pampered man of power. Like most people who find themselves in jail, or having lost their jobs, or been battered and bleeding from speaking the truth, John undoubtedly yearned for some sign that his suffering would bear fruit. In today's reading, in the Gospel of Matthew, John wonders if Jesus was the fruit of his hope. And so John sent a messenger to Jesus. The messenger asked one basic question: "Are you the one we've been waiting for?" John wants to know for sure that Jesus is the one that will change everything. It's important to note that Jesus didn't simply say, "Yes, it is I, the great and powerful Christ." no such definitive answer is provided. Instead, Jesus says to the messenger, "Go tell John what you see and hear." And then he lists those things. The sick are healed, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. If that's the kind of person you hope for, then Jesus is your guy. Two important parts of this answer are what Jesus is doing and for whom Jesus is doing it. What Jesus doesn't say is that he's building an army to chase out the Romans and then to make himself king and give his buddies positions of power and wealth. He doesn't say that he's amassed a huge amount of money to invest to create opportunities for wealthy people to become even more wealthy. He doesn't say that he has risen to a position of prominence in the religion or the government, so as to protect and preserve the privileges of the privileged. If those are the things that are important to you, and that's the kind of savior you seek, then Jesus is not your guy. In Jesus' answer is the key to understanding the true nature of our faith. Christianity is about action, with and for those in need. Those in need of health, those in need of justice, those in need of resources, those in need of life. This is the soil where true Christianity grows. Sown in any other soil, and the seeds of faith wither or can become corrupted into something else entirely. Christianity has nothing to do with conserving, preserving, and extending the power and privilege of one group over another. Christianity has everything to do with actions of justice for those deprived of rights and resources. And let's be clear, our goal isn't to lift every person on the planet to the privileges of an American middle-class lifestyle. That lifestyle is based on overconsumption, and that level of consumption is corrosive to the health of the planet and the hearts of those who pursue it. The work of faith is to build a new system based on new values with radically different goals for a meaningful life. To strive for a radically different system in the name of those exploited and ignored is to place ourselves at odds with those with privilege and power. And that has often been a costly path. It's hard to find any sidelines in the calling of our faith. We are either standing with the exploited or with the exploiters. We are either following the faith that will liberate the world or the faith that will lead to more violence and suffering. There is no place for a pleasant, apolitical Christianity or any other neutral stance. There is no place for silence in the face of suffering. We are either striving to overturn the power of domination or we're supporting it. The point of Jesus' answer to John is that faith is witnessed in action, particular action for particular people. If we think our faith is about sitting around thinking progressive thoughts or maintaining a comforting but corrupted tradition, then we've missed the boat. What we do here when we meditate or pray or study is all about supporting the work of justice and compassion. That's our true calling. Our faith is about our actions. It's not about doctrines. The theologian Gustavo Gutierrez said Theology is a reflection on praxis. Praxis is the Greek word, which we translate as action. The book of Acts in the Bible is, in Greek, the book of praxis. In other words, our faith is all about doing the work of justice and compassion and then reflecting on that work so that we may do it even more effectively and faithfully in the future. It doesn't take an advanced degree to see that homeless people need things like shelter, food, and socks. But it takes a commitment to a particular perspective to see that there is something wrong in a city where there is so much wealth and so many people living on the streets. That's what I like about our Festival of Hope. We gather funds to be used for direct service to people who need help. And that's important. But we also take the next step and support organizations that are working to prevent people from being in need. Last year, because of your generosity, we supported programs in Washington State and Central America, Haiti, and Africa. We also supported advocacy organizations like Bread for the World and the Faith Action Network. And in fact, at the recent fundraising event for the Faith Action Network, Keystone was listed as giving at the same level as Plymouth UCC, which is a congregation well over 10 times our size and which has about $30 million in the bank. So when God is calling you, what are you going to reply? Where is God calling you to take action in your life? Where is God calling on us as a community of faith today? What actions do we point to when the imprisoned and exploited people of this planet ask us if we follow Christ? We have a dream. We have a purpose. We have a job to do and a light to guide our way. And all of that is good news. Amen.